For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob Sowers. I'm pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Winter Haven, Florida, and it is a privilege to bring you the Word of God this morning. We're going to talk about a familiar section of Scripture today from Luke chapter 15, but before we dive in, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about what is the most valuable thing that you own. Not the most expensive thing that you own, but what's the most valuable thing? It might be something that was maybe a gift from a grandparent, or something that you maybe saved all of your money from working over the summer for, and that's the most valuable thing. Or, well, maybe it's just your phone, right? For a lot of us, that maybe is the most valuable thing. Imagine now if you've lost it. Picture that feeling in the pit of your stomach, that frantic searching, retracing your steps, the panic rising. The more valuable that item is, the more frantic that search is going to be. What value you place on something determines how hard you're going to look for it. So keep that in mind then as we look at the Word of God today from Luke 15, the first 7 verses. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So right away, we've got two different groups here. We've got in one corner the tax collectors and the sinners. This is that rough crowd. These are the people that your parents warned you about to stay as far away from as you possibly could. Tax collectors were seen as traitors because they worked for the evil Roman government, and sinners was just this category that these were the really, really bad people. The people that you just stayed away from. The people who couldn't hide their brokenness. They were the lost people. So that's the one side. On the other corner, then, you've got the Pharisees and the scribes. They are the religious insiders. They are the ones that have it all together, at least on the outside. And what are they doing? They're complaining. They're grumbling, they're muttering under their breath. Look at him, hanging out with those people. If he was really God, or really sent from God, he wouldn't be caught dead with a crowd of people like that. And so we have this clash of values here. You've got the Pharisees who see these sinners as worthless. They're liabilities. To them, being holy means separation from sinners. To Jesus, holiness has to do with showing compassion for sinners. The Pharisees see these people just as lost people. Their sin, their failure, their mess, just they're lost, they're gone, they're a lost cause completely. Jesus looks at them and he sees something of immense value, something worth recovering. And so that's the profound disagreement that we have in our text. A disagreement over the question of who is valuable to God. So let's think about that question then in our own world here at ILC. We have our own cliques and groups, right? Every school does. You've got your insiders and your outsiders. And we make snap judgments about people based on the clothes they wear, the people that they hang out with, the people that you know made some mistake some years ago, but they still have that reputation because of it anyway. We have our own mental list of the good kids and the troubled kids. And we might not grumble aloud about it, but we think about these things in our heart. We look at someone and we think, boy, I can't believe they did that. And we create a distance. When we do that sort of thing, we're acting just like the Pharisees. We're assigning value to people based on their outward appearance. And really, it's using the law in this twisted way, not as a mirror to show us our own sin, but as this measuring stick where we measure the sins of other people. The trouble gets deeper, though, because if we're honest with ourselves, we're not always the Pharisee there either. Sometimes we're the ones that feel lost. And you probably know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you feel like you're the outsider. It's that shame that washes over you when you hear that voice reminding you about your sin again, and that voice is telling you, oh, if they really knew what you did, if they really knew what you were thinking, nobody would want you around. It's that feeling that your sin makes you feel worthless. Your sin makes you feel like you've wandered so far away that you could never find your way back. That's the true sting of God's law. It doesn't just show us the bad things that we've done. It shows us that there's something wrong with us, that we're sinners. By our nature, we are lost. By our nature, we are wandering. We're born separated from a holy God. Like sheep that have stupidly wandered away from the flock, we're helpless and we're in mortal danger. And so the sin doesn't just devalue us, it makes us spiritually bankrupt before God. So Jesus hears the grumbling of the Pharisees, and notice what he does. He doesn't go into some sort of a theological debate with them, but he tells them a story. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Think about that from just a business perspective. It's terrible logic. You are not, under any circumstances, going to risk 99% to go after just one thing. But this isn't about business. It's about value. The shepherd isn't thinking about profit margins here. He's thinking about lost sheep. And the value that he places on a single lost sheep makes him do the unthinkable. He goes, he searches, and he doesn't stop until he finds it. That shepherd, of course, is Jesus. And Jesus is telling the Pharisees here, he says, you see these sheep as worthless. You see these people as lost sheep who have gone astray, but I've come to find them. And isn't that the story of his entire life? He is the one who left the 99, not just sheep, but he left the glories of heaven. He left the fellowship of the angels to come into the wilderness of this sinful world to find you and me. And he didn't just search, but that search cost him everything. He found us, lost in our sin, and he rescued us. And in order to do so, he had to go to the cross. And on the cross there, he laid down his life to pay for our wandering. His death and resurrection are that ultimate declaration of our value. So he looked at you, he looked at your mess, he looked at your sin, he looked at your lostness, and he said, you are worth dying for. That's your value to God. And your value isn't up for debate. It's not determined by your grades. It's not determined by your athletic ability. It's not determined by your popularity or how well you've kept the rules this week. Your value is permanently fixed by the price the Good Shepherd placed on you when he found you. When you were lost, when you felt worthless, when you felt like a sinner disqualified, you need to hear that voice of the shepherd. He's not grumbling at you about your failure. He is calling you by name. He has already found you. He has thrown you over his shoulders, and he's carrying you home. And notice what happens when that lost sheep is found. The shepherd rejoices. He gets home, and he calls everybody that he can think about. Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep. Jesus concludes, I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who have no need of repentance. God's heart explodes with joy when one sinner recognizes his lostness and rests in the arms of the Savior who has found him. And that grace changes everything. It frees us from being Pharisees. We don't have to judge others anymore. We can see people for who they are, just other lost sinners like us that have been redeemed by the shepherd. We can look at the student sitting next to us not as a label, but as someone of value that Jesus died for. It frees us to be honest about our own struggles, too. We can confess our sins, and that's not a cause of shame, but it's a cause of celebration in heaven. So that thing that you thought about earlier, whatever that thing is, that most valuable thing that you own, it pales in comparison to the value that God places on you. You are His. You were lost, and He searched for you relentlessly. He paid that ultimate price to find you and to bring you home. Today and every day, you're not here to try to earn your value. You're here to celebrate the fact that you've been found. Let that truth sink in. Let that change the way that you see yourself every day, and let that change the way you see everyone else around you too. There is no one outside of the reach of the shepherd's call. There's no one so lost that they're worthless in God's eyes. In Jesus, you are found. And that is cause for endless joy. Amen. We'll close this morning with the singing of hymn 324. We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 6. 1, 3, and 6 of hymn 324.